Welcome. Here comes episode number 219.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips and where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast, and we are delighted to have you with us on this day before Thanksgiving in 2018. That's when this episode is being released. Happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners in the U.S. We've got a lot to talk about today, and one of the topics that we're asked about a lot is what we're going to address this week. It has to do with RV insurance. How do you select the right insurance for your RV? Because if you make a mistake, you can overpay, you don't want to be underinsured, and there are so many variables that when it comes to choosing RV insurance, you need to know as much as possible to make sure you're getting the best deal and the best coverage. And in our interview of the week, we're going to dig into RV insurance, so stay tuned for that. But we got a lot of other stuff we're going to talk about. As always, your RV questions, the RV news of the week, Jennifer's tip, traveling technology suggestions, and a great off-the-beaten-path report. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hello, my dear.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Michael, and everybody else out there.
I am delighted. Thanksgiving is always a fun time. We're back up in Michigan, and we will be celebrating it with two of our three kids that live in the Michigan area. We're driving across the state Thanksgiving Day to Kalamazoo.
And our daughter-in-law, Amy, loves to cook, and I think she's happy to do that. She always seems to be. I've cooked a lot of Thanksgiving meals and done that.
Been there, done that?
Been there, done that. I remember how excited I used to be to make a Thanksgiving meal.
Well, you made many a Thanksgiving meal. Now we get to have somebody else make them, and we just have to eat them. I think I'm going to do a great deal of willpower tomorrow and looking. Yeah. Yeah. Thanksgiving's a tough one for those of us who are trying to lose weight. And I've been doing very well for almost 3 months now.
It's a tough, month? 2 months from Thanksgiving to Christmas.
Yeah.
And then the end of the year.
They said the average person gains, I don't believe that. They say 10 pounds. That's a lot, but that's what they say.
We can gain 5 pounds on one of our outings.
Yeah, I can. But I've lost 30 since the first week of September. So we're pretty excited about that. And I'm particularly excited about that. And hopefully I can keep my willpower with all that food that'll be there in Thanksgiving. But turkey's always good, and there's lots of good little things that I can eat. I'm trying to talk myself into that.
There's lots of veggies.
Yeah. So anyway, we're back in Michigan, and we'll be here for a few weeks, actually. This is kind of like being on vacation, being at our Sticks and Bricks home.
It does feel wonderful to be home, and we're just doing all these things that need to be done.
Like medical checkups. We do our annual checkups today. We had an exciting day today. Yesterday we both had our annual eye checkup with our optician. He's not an optician. He's optometrist. Yeah, optician's the guy who makes him, and he is the doctor. We have a great optometrist. We see him every year, and that was
yesterday's date.
That was our annual check yesterday, and then today we really outdid ourselves. We both had appointments with the dentist.
And that's quite a feat to get you in the dentist.
Yeah, I don't like dentists. But
no,
we anyway,
had a terrible time with you.
So we always use this time to take care of our annual medical appointments.
And then the house is getting its little medical things too.
Yeah, we're putting a heater in the garage to keep some warmth in there so I can do my reviews and stuff and not be shivering out there. And
and just like us, well water tended to, you know, all the things you have to do when you have
a Sticks and Bricks house. Yeah.
Yeah, there are things you got
to
do.
And you know, it's worth it. It's always nice to have your place to come to. And when are we putting up the Christmas tree?
Boy, we were going to do that earlier this week. Haha.
Yeah, maybe the weekend. Well, we always do it the weekend after Thanksgiving. So
the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Well, we'll
Saturday for sure.
Yep, we will do that. So that will be on our agenda this week. We are going to take, I'm trying to keep this new vow of not working quite so hard because this becomes all consuming if I'm not careful. So no new video on Thursday on our YouTube channel. We've been doing our YouTube videos always on Thursday, but we're going to dig one up and kind of freshen one up that we had such a ball with a couple of years ago. We went up to Bronner's Christmas Store. It's the largest Christmas store in the country.
And a fun place it is. We used to take our kids there when they were little. When I was a little girl, my parents, we used to drive over to Frankenmuth and look at the lights.
Now, if you've traveled anywhere in the Midwest, you've seen the signs on all the freeways advertising America's largest Christmas store. Well, we took our road trek, our RV up there a couple of years ago and challenged their design staff. How do we decorate this RV? And they were up to that task.
It was fun. Although I got to say, when we were at Disney, the people that were decorating Mickey Mouse style did a fine job too. That one Class A won the prize.
Oh my gosh, yeah. If you haven't seen that video, it's on the RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. And we did our video of Disney a week ago, last week. It went up last week, last Thursday. And that's still up there. Go take a look at that. And look at the way some of the people decorated RVs at the Fort Wilderness Campground at Disney.
I got to say that Disney video is going to be one of my favorite. It was so over the top.
Yeah, it was. That was fun. And so was the Kansas one before that that we did. That was another one of my favorite ones. We've had some great trips.
This has been a good year.
We have to put together a highlight video of our year. That'll be kind of fun to do. Hey, we are celebrating this week. We're just really excited. What a great surprise to us. We were named, the RV Podcast was named the number one podcast in a list of the top 15 worldwide podcasts released by FeedSpot. FeedSpot's a very respected web service that rates blogs and news websites and YouTube channels and podcasts and the like. And we were chosen, said FeedSpot, as the number one podcast in the world. And I wondered, well, you know, how many are there? There are actually hundreds of them, they said. Hundreds of podcasts.
Well, that's
devoted
what I
to
thought
RVing.
There were hundreds. And the way you just worded that, I thought there were 15.
No,
I thought, happened to the hundreds?
Well,
they listed the top 15.
They listed the best 15. And some of our good friends are on there. We're delighted to see some of them on there. We were really pretty good. Actually, they said thousands of RV podcasts on the web. And we were chosen, and I'm quoting from them, from thousands of RV podcasts on the web. And they use things like social metrics. They cited us because we're trying to educate people, inspire people, empower people with frequent updates and high quality information. And it made it all worthwhile. The judging was by their editorial team, and they said expert reviewers based on our influence, popularity, quality, and consistency of reports. That's pretty exciting, and we wanted to share that with you, who, after all, make it possible by listening and reading and subscribing to us. We're available on all of your favorite apps, your podcast apps, so just Google RV Podcast, and please do subscribe, but... did you ever think when we started that you were not even for me doing this when we started this a little over 4 years ago now?
No, I wasn't, because you were busy enough. Oh. But this is fun to do, but it's something that you have to do.
Hey, it made you a star.
Oh.
It did. Do you really? But I remember, I think.
Maybe I want a pay raise if I'm a star.
You deserve a pay raise.
Well, I'm just impressed that there were thousands, because I've heard hundreds. This is the first I've heard the word.
I'm directly quoting from the news release they sent. And we'll put a link to it. But anyway, that was pretty exciting. And the other big announcement that we have is we released a new ebook this week. And a lot of it came from information that we gathered in our research for the podcast week after week over the years. We call this new ebook the RV Buying Secrets. And our attempt there is to demystify the RV buying experience. It's a little over 70 pages, and it's a guide that will give you a step-by-step process to buy a new or a used RV at a good price. And if you've spent any amount of time researching RVs, you know that the RV buying process can be completely overwhelming. It's confusing. So many different models, so many different manufacturers to choose from. There's varying floor plans you can get, different amenities, everything in between. So that's kind of why we wrote the guide, to give prospective buyers an exact plan to follow and lay out the exact steps to take from kind of this dream that, that many people have for years to get in and enjoy the RV lifestyle, taken from that point right to driving home the perfect RV.
I'm seeing a pattern here. Whatever questions people keep asking us, that's what you do books about. Because you did the first one with pets, traveling with dogs,
yeah,
and pets.
Yep, that's a free
because
one.
Because so many people had questions and they kept asking the same questions. And then, of course, the second one, which is boondocking.
Boondocking, because, our boondocking
guy. You
know,
people, how do we do this? You know, it's a little scary. They don't want to get chased off a spot in the middle of the night. And now this one, I can hardly wait to see what book number 4 is going to be, but we'll just wait. We'll keep this in suspense.
We're working on it.
Keep us in suspense.
Anyway, if you're interested in if you're thinking about buying an RV, this is a good time to do your research. The RV show season is pretty much down and out until January. January, they start off, and the big one, of course, is the RV Super Show in Tampa, Florida. It's the third week, I believe, in January. We'll be there. But it's great to have a plan if you can get to an RV show. I hope the book helps those of you searching. You can find out about it. Just go to, I'll put a link in the show notes. But the book link is roadtrekking.com/buy. roadtrekking.com/buy.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Well, more states are urging residents to make Black Friday a Green Friday. Have you heard of this one, Jennifer?
No, I haven't.
Well, a lot of us, of course, are going to enjoy Thanksgiving, and then everybody does shopping, and this is the big weekend that everybody's out there shopping, but what are they doing Friday besides shop? Well, why not head outdoors? And many state parks around the country are urging everybody to make Black Friday a Green Friday. The state parks are offering free or discounted admission and offering special outdoor-related activities. We've got a whole list of them, and we'll put them in the show notes. Oregon has one. They've renamed the day Green Friday. Washington State, they're calling it Autumn Day. South Carolina is offering deep discounts, and many, many other states have similar plans. The whole hashtag opt outside movement has taken off. It was actually started, and let's give a tip of the hat to retailer REI. They started that several years ago, and it's really caught on. We will put a link in the show notes for this episode, and you just go to roadtrekking.com/219, and you can get more information.
About 1 million people at all stages of life are living full-time in their RVs, traveling the country as modern-day nomads, according to a story I read last week. Most of us in the RV community know full well the appeal of living in an RV, traveling the country, and enjoying a new adventure each day. It was fun, however, to see how the lifestyle was portrayed in the paper, complete with a profile of 4 couples.
Now we'll put a link to that as well. It's kind of neat. I saw that. And, you know, have you been noticing the trend? There's more and more RV lifestyle themed stories appearing in popular media now. And of course, you know, they're always a couple of years behind what's really happening out there, but they're finally noting that, you know, this is a major movement, the RV lifestyle. Hey, last week we shared with you a story about a drone controversy surrounding drone footage from Russia where a mother bear and her cub were shot video-wise with the drone as they were trying to get away from this buzzing drone over their heads. A lot of people outraged at the terror that caused the bear. Well, this week, drones were in the RV news again, this time at Yellowstone National Park. Apparently, a man was in the park last day it was open, just a week or so ago, and the park is always open, but I mean, they closed down some of the roads, and it was the last day before they closed down some of the roads. And he brought in a drone, which is illegal, and he put it up and took footage, which he then put up on Instagram. Officials found that video and are now searching for him and are going to charge him with a misdemeanor crime. Apparently, the drone operator is not apologetic, But Yellowstone officials stress the harm that drones cause animals, the stress it causes them. That's why it's illegal. And I confess, I have a drone, and I got caught once. I didn't know. This ignorance is no excuse, right? But this is really back when drones first came out, and right after the Park Service issued a ban against drones in any national park. And we were in Florida on the Gulf Islands National Seashore. And it was, we were the only ones there in a parking area. And I was shooting some new video of our vehicle. And I wanted the water behind it. There were no signs or anything up like that. So I took the shots and I put them. And what I mean, a week or two went by. And we were actually on our way back home from Florida. And the phone rang. My cell phone rang. Now, how they got my cell phone, I don't know. But it was an investigator from the National Park Service. And he asked, did you take that video? I, yeah, I did. Yep. Yeah. Well, did you know it's illegal? No, I didn't. And basically, I just took the video down. They said, well, take it down and we'll let it go. So I sold my drones right after that. Now, I still have drones and I still use them, but only in places where I'm sure they're not going to bother anybody and that it's legal.
I was very upset the first time I saw that video of the mother bear and her cub.
Oh, it made me
and
mad.
People put little happy music with it. And this was, you know, perseverance. And I thought that isn't right. That isn't normal behavior I'm seeing here. And they're stressed. And then the mom swatting at the baby, it just wasn't right. And the little happy music didn't fit with that.
Well, there are a lot of people who don't like drones. They don't like them because of that noise. Some people don't like them because they think they're violating their privacy. And I understand all that. I think those are all valid reasons. I have no problems with the National Park System making them illegal and many other. I mean, we were up at a provincial park in Canada and they didn't allow it either. You could go outside the park, that's fine, but not in the park. And I have no problem with that because there's just too many people who don't know limits. Who don't know. That's a really good way to put it. I was going to say you are not responsible, but they don't know limits. Good idea. All right, what other news we got?
Much of the country has been captivated by the heartbreaking stories coming out of California and this latest round of wildfires. The loss of life, loss of property, loss of entire communities is just devastating. We're now hearing about the destruction of public lands. One story stated nearly 90% of the Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area was blackened by the Woodsy Fire in California. Historic structures, including a western town at the Paramount Ranch, was destroyed. Much of the wildlife, including mountain lions and bobcats who live there, are alive, according to tracking collars, but their habitat is gone.
Well, we'll put a link to a couple of stories there about that. One of them lists all of the camping or hiking trails that have been destroyed by those fires, terrible fires. All right, one last story. This one from Colorado. And again, it's a trend that we have been watching and monitoring and reporting on all year round. Another state raising camping fees to better maintain campgrounds. And this time it is Colorado, which was in the news with costs for a full hookup site in one of their very beautiful state-run campgrounds, now costing between $32 and $41 a night starting next year. That's a lot. And then that's up $10 to $12 per night from what they are right now. Some of that increase is offset by the elimination of a $10 registration fee, so that might not be quite as hard on the pocketbook for frequent campers in Colorado. The new funding is needed to upgrade the pads that people put their RVs on, keep more camp hosts on site, and improve internet connectivity. And this, according to the Colorado Parks and Recreation site. And we have a couple of stories that we will link there in the show notes, which is at roadtrekking.com/219.
Is it a gadget, a recipe, a tip? Whatever she has in store for us, it promises to make the RV lifestyle a little more fun or efficient. Here's Jennifer with her RV tip of the week.
Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, and I just enjoy gathering with loved ones, sitting around the table, eating the traditional foods, and sharing memories. But inevitably, as soon as the dinner is done and the dishes are washed and put away, the topic that starts to occupy my mind is holiday giving, gift giving, that is. Do any of you ever feel this way? Well, this year, I have a few campers on my list, and I am getting a head start looking for that perfect, sometimes practical, sometimes whimsical gift. I found items that were just perfect last week on the site Etsy, and was so excited, I decided to share some of those finds with you. For instance, everyone needs something to wipe their feet on before entering their RV. One site I found sells personalized doormats and with camping themes. The mats are 30 inches long and 18 inches wide and sell for $43. You can put a personalized message on them, such as home sweet camper, or grandchildren spoiled here, or home is where you park it. The items appear to be well made, based on reviews, and would be perfect for that practical camping friend. Another gift idea is a beautiful garden flag that could be placed on the campsite to welcome others or to hold the spot for us in camper vans when we're away exploring. The garden flags are personalized and have sayings like living the good life or always at home, wherever we roam. There are also various options available with pictures of the type of camper your friends use and places to add last names. The personalized garden flags sell for about $26. A gift that might be perfect for the campfire enthusiast in your group are personalized homemade fire starters made with pine cones, pine needles, and various other recycled materials covered with soy wax. The fire starters are to be placed in your campfire with kindling surrounding them. Then simply light the starter and the fire would start that easily. The site I found makes a variety of cute designed, and they sell for about $10 to $15 for a set of 10. Or if you're looking for something a little less practical, I found some socks that made me grin. Have any of you ever tried to park a long camper van in a tiny spot on a busy RV spot? Or have you ever watched someone who's tried to do it? One site was selling socks that addressed this. One sock said, "Sorry for what I said," and the other socks said, when we were parking the camper. The socks are available in both men and women's sizing in a variety of colors with cotton or cotton and wool blends for just under $8. I sure had fun looking at all the whimsical and practical ideas out there and only have space to mention a few of my finds. I will include links to each in the show notes in case that would help you. And be sure to send me your tips and suggestions for the RV lifestyle. You can use the leave voicemail link at roadtrekking.com. Just click it and then use the built-in microphone on your computer or mobile device to record a message to me. You can do it over as many times as you want and until you're satisfied. And then you just click a button and it comes right to my email inbox. And I do love hearing from you.
Jennifer's tip of the week is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing on powerful premium electric bikes now with free shipping and a really special deal. You can really take advantage of the Rad Power Bikes Cyber Monday sale. This Monday, November 26th at radpowerbikes.com, you can save up to $400 on their full product lineup. You got to go to their website, radpowerbikes.com, and you'll get all the details, and you can get that incredible discount, $400. Already, you will find that Rad Power Bikes, even without that discount, are about half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because they're a consumer direct brand. That means you get a premium quality, well-built electric bike without paying those huge markups caused by dealers and third-party retailers. All their bike models can go up to 20 miles per gallon, or 20 miles per hour, rather, with zero pedaling. They all give you the choice to ride pedal-free with throttle. You have five different levels of pedal assist. They all have the 750-watt motor, which is the most powerful motor an e-bike can have, while maintaining a street legal status. That means you don't have to have a special license. You can ride it anywhere. You can ride a bike. But to take advantage of free shipping and this special Cyber Monday deal. Actually, I think if, as a listener of this podcast, if you go to it even today or tomorrow, you know, by Black Friday even, today or tomorrow, you'll find that. Just go to the site and take advantage. They're limited supplies, so they will run out, and you want to get there first. So you've got an advance notice. $400 off. RadPowerBikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
I'd like to know what pet cam is the most reliable and the most recommended or purchased by RVers. A wireless pet cam with a smartphone app. Thank you so much.
Okay.
This is Ed.
All right, Ed. Thank you. Well, we've just done a video not that long ago that shows the one that we now recommend and use in our RV. And what was that called? Oh, it was called Bow on the Road. Remember doing that a few weeks ago or a couple of months ago? Maybe a month and a half ago. Bow on the Road is the name of the video. You can find that at the RV Lifestyle channel. I'll put a link in the show notes. Now, we have tried all sorts of different systems, at least three systems, to help us understand what the temperatures are inside of the RV while we're gone. We tried a camera system called Canary that we liked for a while. We tried a system called Blue Stream for a while that we liked. But none of them were as robust and as solid as the one we now have. Like everything, it seems, if you want the best, it costs more. And this is pretty pricey at about $279. And then you have to have a subscription for it because it actually uses the internet, cellular network, to update your cell phone with instant alerts if the temperature goes over a certain amount or goes below a certain amount. And it works great. It's not a camera. It's called the RV Pet Safety Temperature Monitor. I'll put a link on the show notes. And it's going to be, we're kind of putting together, we do this every year, kind of like a catalog or a guide of all the different products that we have mentioned all year round. And it's kind of, we liken it around for like a Christmas gift giving catalog or guide for people looking for gifts for Christmas. So it will be in that. I think we'll be doing a little video on it probably next week, and we'll have some more tops on it. But for your question, Ed, it's called the RV Pet Safety Monitor. And again, it's pricey, but it uses cell service. It notifies you by text or an email, and then you can use a smartphone app at any time just to call it up and see what the internal temperature of your RV is. It's on the spendy side. But it delivers on consistency. It's got battery backup. It's got real-time temperature reporting. And all in all, it's the one that I can wholeheartedly recommend and give peace of mind, you know, for us that Bo will be all right if we leave him for a bit. Now, you know, some people don't want to spend that amount of money. That's okay. I understand that. But that's what we use. And I'll put a link to it. And I think it's a pretty cool one. Kind of a fun question here about our brand new RV, which we're still trying to get together a video that we can shoot on that. But let's listen to this question. Here's the question.
Good morning, Mike and Jennifer. This is Mark from Maine. I have three suggestions for a name for your new road trek. Wanda, W-A-N-D-A. The second one would be Elysium. Elysium. And the third would be Gafia, Gafia, which stands for Get Away From It All. Anyway, three choices. That's it.
Well, those are fun names.
I'm going to, we've decided, thank you very much. That was Mark, Mark from Maine. Let's tell our podcast audience. We do have the name picked out. We ask people on social media and we on our Sunday night Ask Us Anything weekly live show we do on YouTube. We ask for audience and we got like 50, 60 suggestions. Like Vanna White, because our van's white and it's a van, and a whole bunch of them. But one of them stuck up for us, and we got it fairly early from Randy Lewandowski, one of our listeners. And we've met Randy several times at our gatherings. And I'm going to announce it here. I'm not going to put it in the show notes, so only you people know it. And we'll also mention it when we do the video. But you want to tell them the name?
Major.
Major. Like you salute a major. Why major? Mike and Jennifer's other residents.
It was just kind of fun.
Yeah. So if you hear us talk about Major, now you know who it is. That's our new RV.
I mean, I thought a snowflake. Snowflake isn't strong enough. Major.
Oh, it's got such a negative connotation, right, with the millennials.
And Avalanche
now
was taken. And
Avalanche is a real name.
Snowball. Okay, yeah. Snowball. Can't call it Snowman or anything.
So it's Major.
Person.
Mike and Jennifer's other residents. Keep it to yourself, though, because I'm not putting it in the show, in the podcast notes. We're going to make that a big announcement when we do our video next week.
I hope it's going to be next year.
I've been trying.
I think it's going to be next year. I really do.
It might be. I have been trying. Now, you know, we've got all these things we want to shoot in it, but here's the deal. It's hard because the weather has not cooperated. The snow, the trees, it's gray and yucky, and we've got a lot of stuff we've got to shoot on it. It's cold, and then
we have workmen running all over the place.
Yeah, so we're working on it. And if I can't show it, maybe I'll have to do an interior. Somebody just sent me a note. They said besides seeing the video and it, you know, what we have and how it all works, having you show what you put in each drawer. Maybe he's a thief and he wants to know everything else. But so they can get an idea how we store stuff. And if you have stuff you want us to shoot, you can still send us a note. What do you want to see about the new
one? This is a stall technique, folks.
No, I'm going to try and do it, but you know my schedule. You know what the weather's
like. I know.
Like.
I'm just teasing you because this week's gone because we're going to be traveling. And then next week we've been asked to travel back to Kalamazoo and babysit. So
yeah,
we just have other responsibilities here.
Well, we were going to shoot it. That's one of the reasons we went to our condo in Florida is we're going to spend the week there. And, you know, it takes a long time to shoot these things and shoot them right and then to edit them and, you know, go over and correct everything you screwed up in the first take. And the weather was horrible in Florida. It rained. I mean, not just rained. It was stormed for like the first 3 days. And then it dropped into the 30s. And it was crazy. That was Florida last week. So those are my excuses anyway.
I mean, we had torrential rainstorms. And one day you couldn't even walk outside for the wind and the electric storm going on.
So now you know the
name.
Enough of the
making excuses.
But now you know the name of our new RV.
I'm thinking that it's going to be next year.
Before the video comes out?
Uh-huh.
It might be, but I'm going to try. I really want to do it. Major, that's its name. And thank you, Mark, for your suggestions and everybody else who offered them. All right, one an email question this week. This comes from Deborah. She says, Mike and Jen, any news about whether Hymer and Road Trek will be using the new 2019 gas-powered Mercedes-Benz Sprinter vans, now manufactured in North Charleston, South Carolina, rather than in addition to the diesel Sprinters? Well, we talked about that last week when we interviewed our friend Mike Niederquell from Advanced RV. Mike is a upfitter, a custom designer of custom RVs, road treks custom designed Sprinters on the Sprinter chassis. And they make Advanced RV makes this a really beautiful machine, all custom. And he is not using the gas-powered Sprinter vans. And I don't know if Road Trek has officially or Hymer has officially made this determination or not, but Mike noted that most of the RV manufacturers that he's talked to and himself have decided that the gas-powered 2019 Sprinter, it's just not enough power. It's not enough oomph for an RV. So they will not be using the gas-powered Sprinter vans. You can listen to that interview at roadtrekking.com/218. It was last week's episode 218, and you can learn more about the Sprinters and what they have on them, when they expect to see them show up sometime next year, and much more from that interview with Mike. It was a great interview.
So, and we never say never, because things are always changing.
Yeah, and I don't know whether Rotrekheimer has officially made a comment at all on that, but I would think that many, if Mike's correct, then most of the manufacturers probably will not use it. They'll stick with the diesel, which has all that power they need. So there you go. Hey, thank you for all those questions. We would love to have you guys be a part of the questions. And here's how you can do that.
Want to be part of the podcast? Ask a question, leave a comment, click the leave voicemail button on the right side of the rvpodcast.com blog. We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
One of the topics that we are asked about a lot has to do with insurance. How do you select the right insurance for your RV? Because if you make a mistake, you can overpay or be undercovered. And there are so many variables that when it comes to choosing RV insurance, you need to know as much as possible to make sure you're getting the best deal and the best coverage. This week, in our interview of the week, we're going to dig into just that. But joining us right now to help sort through these RV insurance questions is Teresa Kogar. She is with Recreation Insurance Specialists, also known as RIS. And first, Teresa, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Now, let me ask a couple of questions. Most RVers sign up for insurance right at the dealer, or they just call their home insurance provider, or they perhaps call their, whoever they normally do their car insurance with. How do people avoid making the mistakes that cost them a lot of money and get them not less than adequate insurance for their RVs? Give us some scenarios, the mistakes people make.
Well, first of all, when someone's purchasing an RV, everyone is very anxious to get the sale done and over with. And often at the dealership, they want there to be proof of insurance before they take the RV. So the pressure is a little high to go out and, you know, get the insurance from where they recommend or who they filter their referrals to. And sometimes, you know, they haven't had a chance to really cover RV specialty coverages, and sometimes they're not even a carrier that have RV specialty coverage.
So what exactly does RV specialty coverage cover? Why do we need to have special coverage for this? Why wouldn't a car insurance policy do it, or a home policy? What are some of the pitfalls that choosing the wrong insurance can cause us?
Without a specialty coverage carrier, you're not looking at people who can adjust claims the same way that they are not experienced enough with, you know, what to expect with RV damage and that, you know, and water leakage and those types of things. So that's one thing. The other thing is the value of your vehicle is a lot different than your auto. We all are accustomed to a car loses its value as soon as you pull it off the dealership lot. But RVs are a little bit different, and with RV specialty coverages, you can protect yourself from losing too much on your vehicle.
So one of the things that can be done with it that you guys do, one of the reasons we speak very highly of you guys, is that you kind of custom make a policy based on the RV owner's needs, rather than kind of just this blanket coverage that we often can just sign up for when we get insurance on our car. Is that kind of how it works? And explain what a RV insurance specialist just does. When I fill out that little form, and we'll put a link to you guys on the show notes for this and in the description. But when I fill out that little form, what happens then?
Well, we take into consideration if it's a brand new unit or a used unit. That's one of the very most important things. You can qualify for total loss replacement as opposed to an actual cash value policy, which means if you have a total loss to your unit, they will actually replace the vehicle with a new one of the same make and model to the closest they can get it, as opposed to an actual cash value policy that would, at the time of the loss, they would decide then, well, what was the value of the vehicle? So those are sometimes, that's the biggest thing that hits you is that, boy, I thought this was worth $60,000 and I had a total loss and I'm only getting $45,000. The other thing you want to look for is, how does the person use the vehicle? Are they full-time, using it as their home and have no home? Do they use it 6 months of the year, but they're snowbirds and live in Ohio to get away from the snow, they're gone. Are they using it for things other than personal use? There's a lot of different questions that go in there. So we would figure out, well, what carriers are available that can insure them for these usages. And there are also specialty coverages that may be important. Do you pull a trailer behind your motorhome? Personal effects that you may have, because you live in it, you have a lot. So you want to take into consideration those things. They also offer valuable personal property for people so that you can schedule it on the policy, much like a homeowner's policy. A lot of those things go into figuring out what carrier is best for you.
Now, how many carriers are there out there that you guys typically will survey in coming up with a recommended policy?
Well, we have four carriers that we're using right now. There are probably five or six out there that do an RV specialty coverage. Some of the big bigger companies are getting a little more involved as they learn, well, this is a good category to go to. They look at RVers as being, responsible people who care about their property, who are going to take care of it. So it's kind of a good risk for them. But I would say right now there's about four to six carriers that you can really, get some RV coverage that can be tailored to your needs.
From your experience, do most RVers overpay or get inadequate insurance when they just kind of do it on their own or go through whatever the dealer recommends? What's your experience on that? Your advice to RVers?
I don't know that people overpay necessarily by not shopping around, but you do take a risk of not getting coverage that you need. I think the industry itself. You may have one carrier that's much more competitive to another one, but sooner or later they kind of equal out because after they've reviewed their losses each year, they have to do, hey, are we even, making, any profit here? So that's how rates are, that's one of the factors that go into that. So I think you're more looking, it's always important to shop around because people's rates do change, so it's a good idea to keep in touch at least, if not every year, every other year to see if you're, in the ballpark. And obviously, when rate changes happen at your renewals, you'll know, I definitely want to shop around at $400 more this year. So, but what you're missing out on is making sure that you got the good coverage with a carrier that understands RV claims and, how to, expedite them and that you have all the coverages that you could have available to you.
Talk about those coverages. What are some of the specialty items that most RVers should have with insuring their RV? What are some of the things we might miss that we don't know? You talked a minute ago about total loss repair or sort of loss versus actual cash value, and I'm not sure I quite understood that. Actual cash value has to do with kind of after depreciation and mileage, but total loss, what is that, and what's the advantage of choosing that over the other?
Well, a total loss replacement is offered to those who are of the original owner of a vehicle that is 5 years or newer. So let's say you're purchasing a brand new unit. You purchase the total loss replacement. And what it does is it kind of guarantees that you will have your RV replaced with a new vehicle if you have a total loss. So those things, if you do an actual cash value and it's 2 or 3 years down the road, they do a value check on the vehicle and you get less than what you actually purchased it for. With total loss replacement, there's not really a set figure except for them to base the rate on. But you know that, well, if I have a 2018 Allegra, bus, I'm going to get something very similar if I have a total loss at the end of the claim.
So that's something we would recommend, obviously, for people who are buying a new unit. What are some of the other specialty things that we should have or at least consider when we're choosing RV insurance?
The other coverages are, there's vacation liability that is kind of like a homeowner's policy for your campsite. So if you have, visitors that you're not related to, somehow get injured in or around your campsite, and it can cover for injuries and property damage that you might do at a campsite, that kind of thing. You have emergency expense that also pays for hotel stays and travel if you are, have a loss to your vehicle and you're far away from home and it's something you can't stay in it for the night. They'll reimburse your hotel stays and even help pay for a rental car after the fact. That's a good one. There's also, as I mentioned, the personal effects for those who carry things that are valuable, that want to keep things on, you can schedule it on the policy. Those are things that are not necessarily available, if you just add it to your auto policy. There's things where people add like a satellite dish to their vehicle. Those things are considered in the value of the vehicle, the upgrade. So even, on a regular auto policy, they're not going to be concerned, not that they're not concerned, but they don't have the extra coverage for those types of things.
All right. Now let's walk through just finding the right policy for us. So we send somebody to your RIS site and what happens? They fill out a form and walk us through how a recreation vehicle insurance specialist will help find the right price for them. And how long does that normally take?
Once we have the information, we're basically going to run the information with all our carriers that we have available. We will determine whether the vehicle is eligible for coverage, such as toter homes and medium-duty trucks and fifth-wheel trailers that, go together. The medium-duty tow and the toter home is harder to place, so we would determine, okay, we have this carrier for that, so that's another thing. You have to consider eligibility. And at that point, we try the carriers. We don't do like an automated quote that just kind of puts it into 5 or 6 carriers to see who gets the best price. We do actually put it in physically because there's information that's really important with discounts. Are they shopping ahead of time? All that kind of stuff kind of goes into the works when you're doing it. But we definitely would have it within the same day.
So if, people typically will buy an RV and they got to show up to sign the final papers tomorrow or the day after, that's when they need the insurance and there's still time for them to go through that process and find the policy that's right for them and their RV by just filling out that form and talking to your specialist. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. It is. There are times when, we may have to ask an underwriter a question. Very few times where it would take less than, the same day that you have asked for it to get, the quote and even issue the policy. It's not, so it's basically, if you made a rush decision to buy something, or all of a sudden they said, hey, it's delivered and it's here waiting for you, and maybe you didn't do, you know, your homework quick enough, we can, you know, put it out within a day for sure.
All right. Now, some general safeguards for people who have insurance and keeping track so that they're not disappointed when it comes to claims time, if they have to file a claim. What's some advice that all RVers can follow to make sure that the insurance procedure works real well when they have to actually call the underwriter and make a claim?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because, you know, when you're on the other end of it, when you're going through a claim, you don't want to be surprised by things. And it actually, you know, it helps in terms of how long it takes the claim to go through. But if you keep very good records, photos of your vehicle, receipts when you've done upgrades or, you know, added something to your vehicle that adds value to it, you know, keeping that all in a finger, you know where it is at all times would be really helpful during a claim process, and you know, like the title and registration, that kind of thing. But the better you keep records on, you know, the condition of your vehicle, what it looked like, because a total loss could mean an adjuster can't even, there's nothing for them to look at. So they know what they're looking at by the proof that you have. So that's the very number one thing that will safeguard you from being surprised, or, you know, if the claim not reaching your expectations.
All right. Well, Teresa Koga from Recreation Insurance Specialist, you have given us some great information today. And the point, I think, of this whole message for people is, RV insurance it's insurance on probably the second most costly purchase anybody will ever make, which is a recreation vehicle. So having adequate insurance is pretty essential. And of course, finding the best policy that's tailored for you is something that we recommend. And we will put a link to RIS, Recreation Insurance Specialist, on the description here below the video and in the show notes for the podcast. And Teresa, I want to thank you for spending time with us, and we'll have you back as we get more questions from our viewers and our listeners all about recreation insurance. So we're glad we connected with you.
Thank you.
All right, RIS, or Recreation Insurance Specialists, formerly Blue Sky RV Insurance, they have had many years of experience with RV specialty coverage. That's why we wanted to have Teresa on to kind of give us an overview. I'm excited. We have asked to partner with them so that they can tailor RV specialty insurance solutions to meet your specific needs. And they have access, as you heard in the interview, to comprehensive RV insurance options with specialized coverages like that total loss replacement, agreed value, things like scheduled personal property, secured storage. You need to know all about those options. And they can offer solutions for vehicles registered, if you have it registered to an LLC or a trust. Some of you have special things like that that make your circumstances a little differently. If you have hard to place insurance, if you're a full-timer for your motorhome or medium-duty tow vehicle, all those things you got to consider. So get that special quote. You're not obligated to anything, and they really do an exhaustive check for you. You can do it. I'll put a link in the show notes, but just go to roadtrekking.com/insurance. That's roadtrekking.com/insurance. We thank Teresa from Recreation Insurance Specialist for being on the program today. Hey, the interview of the week is brought to you every week by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every motorhome, new or used, that they sell is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. Sunshine State RVs in Gainesville, Florida has, I am convinced, the largest selection of used Class B RVs that you'll find anywhere in North America. Now, if you've been looking for a used Class B RV, you know how hard they are to find. And then particularly how hard it is to find ones that are in good condition at a reasonable price. Well, that's why you need to either make a trip to sunny Gainesville, Florida, or check out SunshineStateRVs.com. Their inventory is all up there online. They have them ranging from the early 90s to the current year, everything in between. They also sell brand new Road Treks, brand new Hymers, brand new Chinook motorhomes, brand new Coachman motorhomes. But what I think most people are so blown away with is how many used Class B motorhomes they have from all the leading manufacturers like Road Trek and Pleasure Way and Winnebago and Leisure Travel, many more. Honest, you will not find a wider selection anywhere else. We've been there a couple of times. Jennifer and I know Nick and the crew. We've watched Matt, his tech guy, his maintenance guy, go over those RVs. They put them all through a 172-point inspection. They turn on everything. They road test them. They make sure that everything is running the way they should. And they're all, I really like, you know, the little extra time. They thoroughly clean and detail them inside and out. They even check the roof for cracks. So you check them out, sunshinestatervs.com.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV tech tip of the week.
All right. Oh man, this is the holiday shopping season. Tech toys are in abundance, and for travelers, Andy Choi from Verizon's got some suggestions.
Hi, Mike. I want to take this week's tech segment to talk about how we could all use a little extra space, especially during the holidays. So whether it's a holiday party or a big family gathering around the turkey, you may want to leave your big phone behind and take the new Palm device instead. The Palm is a companion device to your smartphone. It's a Verizon-exclusive connected device that syncs with Android and iPhone devices. The Palm uses the same number as your primary phone, but in a much smaller package. You know that tiny change pocket on the front of your jeans? The Palm fits perfectly in there. And ladies, you can throw the Palm with a clutch and leave the purse at home. So how small are we talking here? The thin, portable design is about the size of a credit card. With a 3.3-inch touchscreen, the Palm can receive calls and texts on your primary number without having that phone nearby. It can also stream music from apps or download for offline playback with 32 gigabits of storage. And yes, it's got a camera, two cameras, a 12-megapixel rear-facing camera, and an 8-megapixel selfie cam to capture photos and access to social media apps to share right from the Palm. Aside from the fact that the Palm's diminutive size is just stinking cute and makes a nice conversation starter at any gathering, the Palm lets you live in the moment, stay in the present. Rather than carrying a device that dominates your every waking moment, the Palm size is all about enhancing connectivity without blocking the world and those loved ones in front of you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving with this week's traveling technology tip. I'm Andy Choi with Verizon.
That's pretty cool. The Palm. And do you remember the Palm Pilot? Anybody ever have one of those? I did. I had everything. I mean, I'm a tech addict. And I remember my Palm Pilot. I used those for years. That was well before the iPhone, before the iPod, any of that stuff. Well, now we're back to the Palm. But this is a really cool, almost smartphone, leave at home device. You're not going to miss anything important. It's really, really cool. We'll put a link to it in Andy's segment there on the podcast. Just go to the show notes. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Verizon, which operates America's most reliable wireless network. And they're the official wireless provider of the RV podcast when we're out on the road. That's how we get the podcast uploaded and delivered to you. Same with our videos. We rely exclusively on Verizon when we're on the road because they have America's most reliable network. Can you say that about your network? If not, you're stuck on the wrong network. Get unstuck by just going over to Verizon and saying, take me with you.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path. A unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
All right, our friends Tom and Patty Burkett have been gathering the stories they pick up on the road, and here's another one that they found way out there off the beaten path.
Rube Sherwood was a prospector in the hardscrabble mines above Fairplay, Colorado. It was hard, dangerous work, and Rube made a living but never hit the motherlode. He came through just west of the Continental Divide as a teenager, driving a large herd of horses to the Pacific. The lure of this country was too much, and he quit the drive and began working as a fur trapper. After a good few years trapping, he decided to try his hand at prospecting and, later, ranching. In his final years, he returned to South Park and the solitary miner's life. Most of his days were spent in the company of his faithful burro, Prunes.
Prunes is really the reason for this story. Just off the square in Fairplay is a monument to his memory, unveiled by Roop himself shortly after the burro passed away in 1930. They'd been friends and partners for more than 60 years. The old miner said on that day, "Lord, I hate to see him go. I would trust him ahead of any man." He wrote and published a poem in Prune's memory. A much less noble but still beloved burro lived here at about the same time, wandering the town begging for handouts. You can find his small gravestone on the nearby courthouse lawn.
Fairplay is home to South Park City, a restored mining camp from the town's boom days. It includes well-furnished examples of a hotel, saloon, stores, doctor's office, dentist office, post office, and more. It's not hard to stand in the street flanked by these buildings and imagine what it might have been like as you look up toward Mosquito Pass. At over 13,000 feet, it's one of the highest passable roads in Colorado and suitable only for skilled drivers in four-wheel drive vehicles. At the top is a monument to John Dyer. Father Dyer crossed the pass several times a week as a circuit-riding preacher visiting the miners at their camps.
The historic Hand Hotel had a dining room for many years and is now a bed and breakfast, but definitely worth a stop to enjoy the decor. Head east from here. As you pass through South Park, you'll see mountains on every side. The little town of Como, just off US 285 to the north, was once the largest town in the county. Here you'll find a roundhouse that served the mining trains and a road that climbs over Boreas Pass. Summiting at over 11,000 feet, the road is suitable for a road trek and has several interesting historic stops along the way.
Up the slopes from Como, you can find the ghost town that was Buckskin Joe. 5,000 people lived here around the time of the Civil War. A raucous mining town, it was best known for the dance hall girls at Bill Buck's Saloon. One of these was a petite, reserved beauty from Denver who charmed all the miners and wore silver shoes whenever she went dancing. Small in stature but great in spirit, she stayed behind to tend the sick and dying when smallpox hit the settlement and most of the population fled. Mount Silverheels to the northwest and snow-capped year-round is named in her memory.
If you choose not to turn off at Como, a bit farther along is the small ranching town of Jefferson. Open for more than a century, the Jefferson store offers home-cooked food and a wide array of travel, camping, and outdoor supplies. There's gas here and 24-hour porta-potties. Turn north and you'll soon enter the Jefferson National Forest. The road climbs to one of our favorite spots of all time, Jefferson Lake. There are a variety of camping options nearby. Fishing here is first rate, as it is at the nearby Terryall Reservoir.
The small roads that crisscross South Park are rich in sights for the leisurely traveler. Keep your eyes open for mule deer, pronghorn antelope, and the occasional elk. We've seen many golden eagles out here. There are abandoned cabins and mine entrances aplenty. Be aware that these may be dangerous to enter and are frequently on private land. Even from a distance, though, and from the outside, they're great photo subjects. The aspen groves are lovely at any time of the year, but especially majestic in the fall when they turn bright gold. We'll look for you out here among the rocks and sage off the beaten path.
Off the Beaten Path is brought to you by Harvest Hosts, a membership site that provides truly unique overnight stops at awesome places like wineries and farms and various attractions across North America. Now, if you've had it with having to spend $30 to $50 to overnight at a crowded campground, or if you're tired of being awakened by all the noise and lights at a Walmart, Harvest Hosts offers overnight stops in all sorts of out-of-the-way places like wineries, farms, like I said. I mean, they have like lavender farms, maple sugar farms, fruit orchards, vegetable farms. Now, you need to be self-contained. You got to call ahead and arrive during business hours, but your stay's free. Now, to be polite, is expected to buy a bottle of wine or some fruit or some of the produce or stuff, but if you haven't joined Harvest Hosts, now is the time, and I want to make this really clear to you. Listen up, because if you've been thinking about it, you got to do it before January 1st, because their price will increase from the current $49 all the way up to $79. So you need to get locked in at that the current rate, and you can do that. The new price will take effect January 1st for new members only. So if you're signed up before January 1st, you get locked into the current rate, which is only $49 a year. But there's the other part. As a listener to this podcast, you can beat even that price. You will get yourself grandfathered into the lower price, and you'll get a 10% discount if you sign up through us at roadtrekking.com/harvesthost. That's roadtrekking.com/harvesthost. Harvest Host gives all of our followers a very special price, but you got to use that link. And you can share it, send it out with somebody else, but to get that 10% discount to lock in that rate before the price increase, go to that special address, roadtrekking.com/harvesthost.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
So ends another episode of the RV Podcast. Remember, we would love to have you heard and be a part of the podcast. Just record that voicemail message. Click the right-hand button at the roadtrekking.com website. Also, have you joined the Road Trekking RV Lifestyle community yet? Now, you hear a lot of the hosts on these various podcasts and YouTube channels. They all are kind of like begging for you to support them, for you to send them money. It's the other way around. You join our community, we'll send you special deals. You get a special discount on all sorts of services like Harvest Host, we just mentioned, also overnight RV parking and all stays. We get you special rates on all sorts of stuff. So all you got to do is join our community. It's roadtrekking.com/community. It's free. You'll get a weekly newsletter filled with inside information about the RV lifestyle and lots of helpful tips, and you'll learn about stuff that's happening there first. All you got to do is join it, roadtrekking.com/community, and you can be a part of us, and we will send you all those special perks and discounts just for joining. All right, thank you guys so much for listening. I hope wherever you are, if you're in the U.S. and celebrating Thanksgiving, that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving surrounded by friends and family. Hey, we love you guys. You are the greatest. And again, thanks for making this podcast the number one RV podcast in the whole world. That's awesome. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you out there on the road. Happy trails.